Keep your Wembies and your Chets. I don't want them. Give me a guy with some real experience. Now that doesn't mean I don't like them young. So in this video, I'm going to discuss the young breakout players with a few years of NBA experience that I'm targeting in drafts. Keep watching. So all kidding aside, I love targeting second, third, and fourth year players. In my experience, that's when they tend to break out and outproduce where you're able to grab them in your draft. I'm going to discuss a list of players that I expect to break out. Now, this isn't every player that has the potential to, but just the ones catching my eye in drafts. And before we get started, do me a favor and smash that like button for me like a dime piece at the club. And subscribe if you have not yet. So, the first player on my list of breakout players is Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley last year averaged 16 points, 9 rebounds, almost 3 assists per game, and he was able to get you 1.5 blocks per game, 0.7 steals. I love the steals and blocks combination. He only got you 0.3 three-pointers per game. Hopefully he can increase that because that would make him an early round type of guy, as well as an improvement in his free throw percentage. I love the schedule that the Cavaliers have later this year for the fantasy playoffs. So Evan Mobley has to be on your radar as a breakout player. I think he can beat all of these numbers, and I think he can be closer to what you expect now from Jaren Jackson Jr. The next player on my list is Jalen Williams, who to me was the most impressive rookie his rookie year. Paolo Banchero was great as well, but there was something about the veteran poise Jalen Williams played with. I love the fact that he got me a bunch of steals last year, averaged 1.5 steals as a rookie, got you 15 points, did so with 52% field goal, shot 37% from three, 81% from the free throw line. That level of efficiency from a rookie was very impressive to me. So he helped me in a lot of categories that I value. He wasn't super turnover prone. He only turned the ball over 1.6 times, and he got you 3.5 assists. So again, to do that his rookie year, I think his second year breakout is imminent. I'm very excited to see this guy. Jalen Williams was on a few of my championship teams last year, and I expect that you'll have to pick him up around the 55 to 70 range, which I think is great value because, again, a breakout from this guy probably gets you closer to 17, 18 points per game while still being efficient, while still getting you the steals, getting you more assists, less turnovers. I think he's one of the pillars of that Oklahoma City team, and he's going to be on a lot of successful teams this season. Drafted in 2022, last year we saw the beginning of the breakout of Mark Williams. They traded away Mason Plumlee, the Hornets did, and Mark Williams was able to secure starter minutes, and this year he should be able to secure that starting role. What did he do as a starter? Last year he averaged 11.6 points, 1.1 blocks, 62% from field goal, only made 66% of his free throws, but got you almost 10 rebounds per game, 0.6 steals per game, and he did all of that in about 26 minutes per game, which shows the value that he has when he's getting you over a block and almost 10 rebounds in only roughly 26, 27 minutes per game. I like the opportunity ahead of him. I think he's the most talented big man that Charlotte has. He's a true center. He's 7 feet tall. So he's going around the 90 to 105 range based on the mocks and the drafts that I've done. So if you like his upside, you like his shot blocking potential, do keep in mind though that Charlotte has a pretty bad playoff schedule depending on your format. Another guy I'm expecting a big year from is Trey Jones. Last year, Trey Jones averaged almost 13 points per game, 6.6 assists, 1.3 steals, and he only got you 1.6 turnovers. So 6.6 assists to 1.6 turnovers, very similar to Tyus Jones in that regard. He didn't really help you as far as threes are concerned. He needs to improve there. The field goal percentage at 46% roughly, I will take that along with the 86% from the free throw line. I like his upside. I think he has a secure role as the point guard on that San Antonio Spurs team. And he's now playing with a piece like Victor Wembanyama, which is a huge target for him to get assists and to draw some defensive attention away from him when he has the ball. So a guy that's going around the 110 range in drafts, Trey Jones has some very sneaky appeal, and I think he's a great breakout candidate. This next guy was another rookie that really impressed me last season, helped me with some of my championship teams, and actually had a record-breaking performance by a rookie. Who am I talking about? Mr. Keegan Murray. Now, Keegan Murray's numbers don't jump off the page, but last season averaged 12.2 points, got you 0.8 steals, half a block per game. He turned the ball over only 0.8 times, so less than one turnover per game. Really valuable. The free throw percentage was at 76%, but on very few attempts, he only took one attempt per game. He's a guy that made 41% of his three-point shots. He took six per game, hit about 2.6 of them. Field goal percentage at 45%. I expect an improvement in his efficiency, his field goal percentage, his free throw percentage. I think he has the opportunity to get more steals, more blocks. The assist, I don't know if that'll ever be a huge part of his game, but more than 1.2 assists, I don't think it's unrealistic. The Kings have a very strong playoff schedule as far as the fantasy playoffs. I like his shooting. I like his role on that team. I think the team believes in him, and I think he's a really good fit with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis because of his ability to hit threes while being 6'8". So Keegan Murray is on my list of breakout players. I've been seeing Keegan Murray go around 100, maybe the 95 to 1010 range. So if you want him, that's where you're going to have to target. Keep watching until the end, and I'm going to share some bonus breakout players. The next player on my list is Jabari Smith Jr., who last season averaged 12.8 points, 7.2 rebounds, 1.3 assists. In his rookie season, he played 79 games, played about 31 minutes per game. His field goal percentage was atrocious, only made 40% of his shots. He did make 1.5 threes per game at 30% shooting. The free throw percentage at 78% for a big man is pretty decent. Rebounding at 7.2, didn't get too many assists, only 1.3 turnovers, half a steal, close to a block per game. I'll allow that. This year, I expect an improvement in his efficiency. I think having Fred VanVleet is going to help his game a lot. And towards the end of last season, we saw him break out a little bit. We've also seen him have a very strong summer, and I expect that to carry over into the regular season. I really like his upside. Jabari Smith Jr. is another player that's going around that 85 to 105 range. So a lot of value there if he's able to scratch his lofty potential. The next guy on my list is Scotty Barnes, a player I feel we had very lofty expectations for last season, and I don't think he met them. But there's a few factors that I really like. Fred VanVleet being gone is going to give him more ball handling responsibility, which I think is going to help his assist numbers. Last season, he got you 4.8 assists. He got you 15.3 points, 1.1 steals, 0.8 blocks, shot roughly 45% from the field, only made 0.8 threes at 28%. So we saw an improvement there. If he could be more efficient from the free throw line and continue getting you those 6+ rebounds, close to 5 assists, and continue getting me steals and blocks, I think he can have a very strong season. So for a guy that's being drafted around the 50 to 60 range, I think there's a lot of upside with Scotty Barnes. While this next guy struggled a bit with consistency his rookie year, he is a big-time scorer, and he plays with some superstar poise. The player I'm talking about is Benedict Mathurin. While his field goal percentage did leave a lot to be desired, Benedict played 78 games, played about 28 minutes per game, scored over 16 points per game as a rookie, didn't really help you with your steals or blocks. But he drew 5.8 free throws per game, which just shows how aggressively he plays. I really believe he's going to have a strong season. A scorer like him with a year of NBA experience under his belt, I expect him to be more efficient. I expect him to continue being aggressive. And I expect that the Pacers are going to give him a very big role. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is Buddy Hield, his status moving forward is a bit questionable. He has not been extended, so if they were to trade him away, that would open up a lot of shots, minutes, and opportunities for Benedict Mathurin. This is a guy I've seen going consistently over after pick 100. So if you need a big-time score with big-time upside in that category, with the risk that he's not going to get you steals, blocks, or be efficient from the field, he might make some sense for you. The last guy on my list is Emmanuel Quickley. We've seen him improve every season. We've seen Tom Thibodeau give him more responsibility on that Knicks team. Last season, he averaged 14.9 points, 4.2 rebounds, 3.4 assists. But as a starter, in 21 minutes, he played 38 minutes per game. He averaged 22.6 points, 5.4 rebounds, 5.1 assists, 1.2 steals, took almost 17 shots per game and made almost 47% of them, hit 3.2 threes per game at 40% shooting. So his minutes as a starter are absolutely bonkers. But as you can see with these splits, his opportunity is going to be based on the minutes that he is getting. Hopefully we can see him getting north of 30 minutes per game. This is a guy that's being drafted again after pick 100. So another guy you can grab really late with a whole lot of upside to beat that at draft position. And the way to dominate your draft is to make sure you're grabbing guys that have the opportunity to beat where you're drafting them. I understand going for your guys, but if you're reaching too much for players and they're not even reaching the floor, and the floor is where you drafted them. If you drafted them at 50, their floor is 50. In order for them to bring you the value where you drafted them, they'd have to perform at that level. So I love to pick up sleepers late in my draft that have the opportunity to give me early round production. And when you hit 2, 3, or 4 of those, you become really difficult to beat, even when you don't nail your first few picks. Which of these players in this video are you targeting? Let me know in the comments. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for your support. One other way that you could support not only Brock Lesnar Hoops, but also yourself, is by purchasing the brand new draft guide from Excel and Brock Lesnar Hoops. Excel and I worked very hard on this guide to have it full of information, analysis, charts, data that you can then apply during your draft. Some of the things we cover are breakout players. We have a breakdown of how to do your auction draft so that you can put together a team that conquers all. And you're able to support the work that I'm doing here at Brock Lesnar Hoops. I am a small-time content creator. I do this out of passion, and a project like that helps you help me. If you haven't yet, you should definitely check out this video right over here, because it's gonna get you right. The season's about to start. I know a lot of us are heading into drafts or have already drafted, and if you're in that position, I wish you the best of luck. Until next time, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops. Take care.